The word is, this word is simple, very, very important. For example, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Simple, but foundational and very important. This passage also of scripture is also simple, but very, very important. In essence, what I want to share today, what I believe I want to translate into your understanding and into your minds and into your hearts and into your belief, is that God knows our weaknesses yet loved us. God knows your weaknesses, yet loves you. Romans 5, verse 8. I'll be reading verses 8 to 10. Romans 5. But God shows and proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, since we have now been justified, that is declared free of the guilt of sin by his blood, how much more certain is it that we will be saved from the wrath of God through him? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, it is much more certain, having been reconciled, that we will be saved from the consequences of sin by his life. That is, we will be saved because Christ lives today. And because he lives, we are saved. We are reconciled. That's one of the most beautiful aspects of God's love. He knows your flaws, your failures, your struggles. He knows. Yet, nevertheless, he loves you unconditionally. He loves me unconditionally. He loves each and every one of us unconditionally. But we tend to forget this. And we begin to think that maybe it is our behavior, it is what we can do or what we did not do that has anything to do with how he loves us. He has determined to love us. God determined to love us. God determined to love us right from the time when he loved you, he loved man. In Adam and Eve, he loved man from the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, and God spoke the word to forgive them. He loved every one of us. You see, this verses of scripture, they capture this unchangeable truth perfectly. God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, while we were still his enemies, he loved us. And not only did he love us, he didn't just love us in thoughts, he didn't just love us an idea, he loved us practically because he sent his Son to die to exchange for us. And his Son is alive today. His Son is alive today. So we have this assurance that yes, we've been saved. Because if Jesus did not come to life, if Jesus did not resurrect, we will not have that assurance. But because Jesus resurrected, he rose from the dead, he's alive today, So we know that there is life after death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
It is by the grace of God that we are saved into His kingdom. We are saved into the kingdom of God. It is His kingdom. He decides. He says, Jacob I loved, Esau I hate. He decides. He has decided to love man. More specifically, He has decided to love you, to call you into that blessed inheritance. It is this grace, it is the power of His unmerited favor, undeserved favor, that delivers and sets us free. Sets us free, not just leaves us alone, He sets us free into blessedness. He sets us free into the power of His salvation. Nothing broken, nothing missing, justified, peace, that's what is set us free into. It is free. Hallelujah. And He designed it. The creator of the entire universe designed it. It pleased Him to put man in this position. It pleased Him to make man and to make man what man is today. Regardless of what man is doing, God still loves and has His purposes. And I pray that God's purposes for your life will be achieved in your life, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The only prerequisite is that we believe. That's all. Just like John 3:16, if you believe, that's the only prerequisite. The only prerequisite is that you believe that Christ died for you and that God loves you. You have to believe, brothers and sisters, you have to believe that God loves you. Please, please, please. You have to. Because that's why He sent His Son to die. You have to believe that He loves you unconditionally. Unconditionally, He loves you. Unconditionally, He loves you. Unchangeable God, Immaculate God, how great He is. How great Thou art. How great Thou art, Immaculate God, how great Thou art. Majestic God, how great Thou art. It's a great God and it's a good God. Scripture says, no eye has seen yet the things that God has purposed for those who believe in Him. No one knows the height, the depth, the length, the breadth of God's love for us. Nothing in creation, nothing created or uncreated, in heaven or earth or under the ground, that's what Scripture says, nothing. Not even angels, nothing, nothing can separate you from the love that God has for you. Amen?
Amen.
I think we need from time to time to remind ourselves of this. Because our head sometimes comes in and we begin to think we know. We know how to judge. We know what is right or what is wrong. But in the final measure of things, we do not know. That's why we shouldn't judge. Only God knows. And He has decided to love you even as a sinner. Let's look at this passage of Scripture about, I think it speaks of this unconditional love of God. John 3, John chapter 8, I'm going to be reading verses 3 to 11, and I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version. John 8:3-11.
John 8:3-11.
Chapter 8:3. Now the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. They made her stand in the center of the court. And they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. Now, in the law of Moses, Moses commanded us to stone such women to death. So what do you say we should do with her? What is your sentence?" They said this to test him, hoping that they will have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and began writing on the ground with his finger. However, when they persisted in questioning him, he straightened up and said, "He who is without any sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Then he stooped down again and started writing on the ground. They listened to his reply, and they began to go out one by one, starting with the oldest ones, until he was left alone with the woman standing there before him in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She answered, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more. I do not condemn you either. Go. He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." Just picture this woman. Even she herself knew what she'd been done. She knew the rules. She knew the law. If you go into Deuteronomy, you read it that, yeah, that's the law. She should be stoned to death. And she's been caught. And now she's been brought before Jesus. And then this drama plays out. And she finds that there is nobody capable of condemning her. The 51st Psalm says, "Against thee only have I sinned, O Lord, that you may be found justified." Against God only do we sin, not against man. And if it pleases God to forgive us, if it pleases God not to condemn, who else can condemn us? God is just. He's righteous. So when he chooses not to condemn, he didn't do it carelessly. He didn't do it without a price. He paid the price. The death that this woman deserved through that stoning, Jesus paid it on the cross. Whatever consequences you deserve through your sinful ways, Jesus has already paid for it. That's why it says, "Before, while you were sinners, he loved you." While you are still sinners, he loves you. He loved us. While we were still the enemies of God, while we were still thinking and doing the things that God does not like, God determined to love us. And he was able to do it because he paid the price. Hallelujah. Amen. He paid the price for every consequence of your sin. The wages of sin is death. He died. He paid the price. And now he loves you, even exactly as you are. Even he loved you because you, before you knew he loved you. Because he's omnipresent. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. And he knew what will happen. So he paid. He paid the price up front, brothers and sisters. He paid it up front. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God's love and grace is for everyone. Everyone. Good, bad, tall, short, male, female. Everyone. I like this word. Whomsoever. His love and grace is for whomsoever. God's love for us is unconditional. And he knows your weaknesses. He knows the things that you do that you don't want to do and you do them. He knows the things you do and you like to do and you know you shouldn't do them. He knows. He knows. In the Gospel of John, John speaks about how those who are in Christ will come both before Christ to themselves so that God can see them. You cannot hide from God, so you might as well come. You might as well come to him. Adam tried to hide after he ate that forbidden fruit. And he said, he couldn't come and say, I'm naked. And God said, who told you that you are naked? Who told you that you are naked? If anyone says he's without sin, he's a liar. The point is, before Adam ate the fruit, he was naked. Now he ate the fruit, he suddenly thinks he knows what he did not know before. But he was just as naked before the fruit as he was after eating the fruit. And God said, who told you? Who told you you are naked? Who told you you are a sinner? Who told you you are condemned? Who told you? If anyone says he's without sin, he's a liar. That's what in 1 John 1 verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. 1 John 1 8. If anyone says he's without a sin, he's a liar. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. And the truth is not in us. But God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Equally, I share with you today that if you think the grace of God, similarly, on the same basis, if you think the grace of God is not enough, if you think the love of God is not enough for your sins, you deceive yourself. If you think what you've done or what you are thinking is such that God cannot forgive you, you are deceiving yourself. You are being deceived. You are believing a lie. And that lie is from the devil. I'm naked. That's a lie. God said, who told you? You see, because even now that he knows he sees himself as naked, God already saw him as exactly what he is from the very beginning. Hallelujah. God knows all your weaknesses. All. Every one of them. Every bit of your weaknesses, God knows. There is nothing that God does not know about you. There is nothing God does not know about me. There is nothing God does not know about any of us. He knows everything about each one of us. Yet, he loves you. Exactly as you are, he loves you. Just as you are right now, God loves you. He died for you. As you are, with all your weaknesses, with all your baggage and garbage, he loves you. He loves us. While you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. While you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. And I think our scripture today in this Romans 5 verse 8 captures it perfectly. God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen?
Amen.
God's love isn't based on our perfection or imperfection. God's love is based on his grace. When he said to the disciples, "Who do you think I am? Who do the people say that I am?" Peter spoke. He said, "You are the Christ." He said, "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. My Father in heaven has revealed it. You will be called Cephas. And on this church, this rock, you will be called rock. And that rock, I will build my church." When he was in the garden, and Peter was saying, no, I will be with you. I will defend you to the Last Supper. No, if everybody runs away from you, I will not run. He said, "Peter, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter was like, "No, not me." Now we know that Peter denied God 3 times. Even at one point, he was cursing and swearing that he didn't know him. You think Jesus did not know all of that about Peter when he said, "Peter, you are the rock"? He knew all of that. Yet he loved him. And when Peter was to be killed, they wanted to nail him to the cross, suddenly realizing the love of God. "No, I don't even desire to die like that. Let me die upside down." God's love isn't based on who you are, what you can do or what you cannot do. He knows you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strength. He knows you in and out. Yet, beside all this, he loves you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Undiluted love. Unconditional love. But the enemy doesn't want you to believe that. The enemy wants you to think that what you have done is beyond redemption. God's love isn't based on your imperfection or weaknesses. Doesn't matter how weak, how dirty, how undeserving you feel. God's love remains unconditional. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. Where you're weak, that's where the strength of God is perfected. You see, where you could not triumph, Jesus did. And the devil knows Christ has triumphed over him on your behalf. Hallelujah. The devil knows. Devil knows that your foot is on his neck. You need to begin to know that. You begin to realize that, yes, God loves you. Regardless of your weakness, you begin to enter into that power of the resurrected Christ. Because the power of the resurrected Christ has cancelled out all your weaknesses. That's why Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9 writes, 2 Corinthians 12:9, God said to Paul, you see, Paul had done all these evangelistic things, he'd done powerful things, he's raised the dead, he's done a lot of powerful things, he's converted lots of people. And even though he says that my righteousness is not my own, it's of God, he speaks about how sometimes his weakness walks through. And God said to him, 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough. They are always available, regardless of the situation. For my power is being perfected, is completed, and shows itself more effectively in your weakness." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God loves you. unconditionally. And I pray today that from this moment, you will know that and you will walk in the liberty for which Christ has set you free, regardless of your weaknesses. And you will begin to believe and trust in His strength, even when, especially where you're weak. Blessed be the name of the Lord forevermore. Amen.
Amen.